WDWD.
Now, on with the show.
This is Mouse World Radio.
Radio 1!
Oh, yeah.
This is Walt Disney World Today Live. Call 407-278-5939, 407-278-5WDW to get on the show. Now, your host, Matt Hochberg.
Thank you, Mr. Voice, and this live show of WDW Today is being sponsored by TouringPlans.com. And hey, if you're looking to go to Walt Disney World and you don't want to wait in line, who does, right? Well, TouringPlans.com is the resource for you to help you get around those long lines, see everything you want to see, and have a great time at Walt Disney World. So really got nothing to lose, just a couple bucks, and you know what? It pays for itself very quickly. Check them out right now at TouringPlans.com. And it is Sunday, January 29th, 2012, and this is the live show for January 2012 of WDW Today. Happy New Year! I'm Matt Hochberg of StudiosCentral.com. Joining me on today's show is Len Testick, co-author of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World. And Len, I'm guessing you approve of the entrance music here.
I do approve of the entrance music, and I'm glad I skipped the Pro Bowl to be here with you guys tonight. Thank you.
The Pro Bowl. Man. Also joining us on today's show is Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Pro Bowl. Is that something to do with football?
Yeah, I know. Isn't it, football's over, right? Isn't it basketball season?
My season's been over since October. I don't know about you guys.
I hear it's only a couple more weeks till the Mets are mathematically eliminated, too.
I'm off for the Pro Bowling Tour.
Oh, I almost named Hannah Mookie, so, you know, that's with love right there.
Mookie Testa.
Mookie, exactly. Also joining us on today's show is Mike Scopa, a senior feature writer and blogger for All Ears Done Now. Welcome, Mike.
Chili,
I really hate it when you do that.
Oh, tough to be a bug.
Wow. Like an Animal Kingdom one. Wow.
Hey, broken clocks are right two times a day. And also joining us on today's show is the fabulous Annette Owens, a manager of customer relations and group services for MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Welcome to the show, Annette.
Hey, nice to be here, and can't believe January's almost gone. Where's the year going? It's just flying by.
Well, 2012 is over. That's it. We're calling it. Welcome to 2012.
Time for reunion.
Done.
Yep.
Done.
Done.
Bring on the Mayans.
We're live here on our January 2012 live show, and somebody's getting text messages, but we are here to take your phone calls, not text messages, and you can call into the show right now at 407-278-5939. Let's get things started with our first call of the evening. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Hi, my name is Matthew. I'm calling from Mars, Pennsylvania. Go Steelers.
You.
Hey, Matthew.
How's it going? Outstanding. Thought I'd get the jump on you.
Awesome.
Ooh.
All right, is this the part where I ask my question?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. We are going to go, my family and I, to Walt Disney World on Christmas Eve. We're staying through New Year's Eve. And in the past, when we've gone over the holidays, we had gone to the Christmas party, which I thought was nice, a little overpriced, and I know you guys have certain feelings about that. But I checked this year because I thought we were going to attend it, and I saw that the last holiday party actually ends on December 18th. They have no parties after that date.
Yeah.
And I know that they still have some of the decorations and things up after that point. But I guess I was confused as to why they wouldn't have the event after that date, because it kind of seemed like they were leaving the money on the table. You think of it that way, which didn't really seem like something the Mouse would usually do.
I think it comes down to the fact that the crowds are going to start increasing right around then. That's about the time kids get out of school.
Okay.
So since they're going to have more and more people coming to the resorts, they don't want to close the park at 7 p.m.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's my guess. I could be wrong, but if I had to guess, I would say.
I think you're right. I think it is a revenue generating decision. They don't need to dangle that carrot of the don't know if you want to call it a carrot, the Very Merry Christmas. They don't have to. They could very well lose a lot of revenue when they do that transitioning, so they don't have to do it.
Yeah.
So you think they actually make more money by selling the park out than they would by trying to sell tickets for the party event?
That's a great question.
Merchandise, food. I mean, the numbers that you get that time of the year is just absurd. I mean, it is the busiest time of the year, so you got to think that. I mean, like you said at the top of your call, Matthew. At the end of the day, they're not leaving money on the table. You know,
right.
I mean, I would not put it past Disney to be doing a decision here. I think the decision they've made here by not having the party the last half of December is purely because they know they can make more money having the parks open to everybody than doing a hard ticket event.
Okay. Cool.
And they could be pissing people off by closing it early too.
The other thing, Matt, is that if during the restaurants will make more money when when people go to these ticketed events, a lot of them have been told they don't go into the restaurants, you know that, and so there's revenue there that they do not realize during the hard ticketed events that they would realize, like Glenn said, it's busy, so those restaurants are packed. Not to mention the surcharge that is added during that time of year, so they're really pulling in some good revenue when they don't have the ticketed event.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, well, I had one other quick question, if I could slip it in.
Sure.
If you were to have, as we're going to, one sort of holiday restaurant meal on Christmas Day, and you could have it anywhere within Walt Disney World, where would you go?
What meal, breakfast, lunch, or dinner are we talking? Any of the three? Or?
Yeah, take your pick, Mike. Just pick one. I mean, whatever you think floats your boat. And you can qualify and say, I would eat, dinner here or lunch here or whatever it may be.
Wow, that's a great question.
I'd say dinner at Flying Fish.
I would have said California Grill or Jico.
That's good.
Yeah.
I want something a little more comfort food, homey.
50s Primetime Cafe, perhaps?
No.
So mom's waiting on you?
No, not unless mom's drunk and smoking, which neither of those things are going to happen. I'm thinking like a Citrico's or a...
Yeah.
Something like that? Yachtsman Steakhouse? Matthew, do you like steak?
Hey, we lost him on the air.
Oh,
but I like steak.
Oh, you like steak.
I like steak. Steak works.
I'm thinking, I don't know if you want to be in a theme park. That seems a little noisy, a little rushed, right?
Blue Zone?
I was going to go with Liberty Street Tavern because it's sort of a traditional thing, but that's...
I'm thinking resort.
That's not the same.
What about Blue Zoo, Glenn?
I've been there a couple times. I haven't loved it either time.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Nothing says Christmas like sushi, kimonos. I'm just saying.
No, I mean, I think you want something where you could get, everyone's going to be happy.
Sushi.
I mean, the only concern I had with Jico was, when I think of like Christmas is past, I traditionally don't think of African flavored monkfish as the typical. I know. We call us non-traditionalists, right? Right. I don't typically think that is the test of household.
In the WWA chat room, Hydrolator seriously Narcoosie's wink wink.
So I'm thinking, traditional American comfort food, maybe with a spin.
Only the ho ho ho's come.
And with that, we're moving on to our next caller.
And that's it for tonight's show.
We have our next caller on the line. Let's change the subject very quickly. Hi.
Couldn't resist.
Thank heavens.
Hello?
Hello.
402 area code. Go.
Nebraska.
Come on down.
Hello, Chicago.
Chicago, go.
It's a corn husker.
Come in.
All right, call back 402. We got to move on to someone else. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Area code. What area code?
732.
It's the 732.
Jersey.
You got it.
Wow.
How you doing? My name's Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Hi, guys. I'm the Fabulous. Hey, first of all, great work on your upcoming 1,000 shows. It's been a good run, but I think you all agree it's time to put it away. So,
yeah.
Thank goodness.
Looking forward
to
your
free
time.
I figured I'm going to do a podcast, WDW, yesterday, where I'll just reminisce about you reminiscing about Verizons and a functional Yeti and the sort.
That's it.
There you go.
Hey, so my family vacations a little bit differently than what you guys traditionally talk about. We usually come down to Orlando for, you know, a week to 10 days. We stay off property, and we come into the parks maybe 1, 2, 3 days during the, you know, during the entire period. And we do, you know, the SeaWorld parks and some other things in the meantime. So what I'm always wondering is, you know, when we just need a good Disney fix, and the tickets, we always do the 10-day never expire, all the bells and whistles, because then we only need to buy them every 2 or 3 or 4 visits. We need to come in, and my kids are all different ages, so it's never like I got to buy them all at once. That works really well for us. But we always want to get a Disney fix without burning a ticket some days. I'm always looking for a good resort to go to for dinner and spend a couple hours, and we've been kind of hit and miss. You know, Fort Wilderness has been good because you've got the Chippendales, and some good dining options and the water parade. We also like the Port Orleans. We did the carriage ride. But then we missed horribly last time when we tried to do Boardwalk, and we couldn't find any place to eat. And there really wasn't much activities there. So my question is, do you guys have any good suggestions? I'm thinking this year try the Kidani Village to do the night goggles. But where would be a good place to eat for a family that's, you know, my kids are a little picky. Would Boma be acceptable, or would you have a different suggestion or another resort to do the same kind of thing?
Well, I mean, I'm a big fan of Sanaa, which is at, Kidani Village. And obviously to go between the Jumbo House and Kidani Village is very easy. I mean, you can walk it or you can take a shuttle. But, I mean, obviously the dining at both resorts we're big fans of on this show. So that's an option. I mean, what do you guys have any other ideas for things, ways not to burn a day in the parks?
I think Boma would be fine in terms of the food. And Boma is actually where you get the night vision goggles, not Kidani Village. The other thing I was thinking of was the Poly. You could eat at either Kona or at Ohana, and then watch the fireworks from the beach.
Okay. And did I miss something at the boardwalk? Is there, like I say, we didn't have reservations. We wound up at either
ESPN.
The Swan or the Dolphin at some really depressing cafeteria for their meal. I don't even know what the place is. It was
Peekaboo. Probably
it
Peekaboo.
Was sad. Did I miss an activity? I sort of had the impression that if we went there, we could spend an hour walking around and there being stuff, but there wasn't. Did I miss something?
No. I don't know that anyone goes to the boardwalk for dining. I mean, there's ESPN there. There's Cuisina, which Cuisina's not bad. Even if your kids are picky, you should be able to find something there. I tend to think of the better restaurants on the other side of the lake Mini Yacht Club, but. I think you'd be okay with either Jumbo House at Animal Kingdom Lodge or at the Poly. You could also, if you liked Fort Wilderness, you also could do Wilderness Lodge.
Okay.
Yeah, there's also, don't forget Fort Wilderness, also you have the the campfire sing-along. That's free.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely a winner there. But all right, well, thanks a lot. Keep up the good work, guys.
Cool.
Thanks, Ryan. Go Giants.
Go Giants.
Let's try that 402 guy again. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, who are we speaking with?
Jennifer in Nebraska.
I knew that.
Jennifer?
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how you doing?
Outstanding. What's on your mind tonight?
Wonderful. Well, we're heading back down here in June, and we stayed at a couple of different places on site, and this year we're looking at maybe trying to get a little more space. We've got a 16-year-old and an 11-year-old. And they're starting to do that whole teenage bicker thing.
Don't touch me.
Yeah.
So we're kind of looking at a little more space. I'm looking at wanting a kitchen to work with this time because we're shying away from the dining plan.
Yep.
And we're looking at the cabins. And so I'm just curious what your guys' opinion is. We are driving down, so we will have our own vehicle. Because I know one of the things I noticed about the cabins is they say it's far away from everything.
It's a hike.
So we do have our own car. I'm just curious what your opinion is of the cabins.
Can I ask a question first from having two teenage daughters that argue all the time? Are your teenagers girls or boys? Because that depends on...
One
that's going to say the bathroom is going to be an issue in a cabin. I'm just going to tell you now.
Okay. That's not a problem. We were thinking of also using a little bit of that, you know, closed bedroom concept for the getting ready in the morning also.
Yeah, there's a mirror in the over the dresser in the closed bathroom. You could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The teenage boy is still at the stage where, you know, put a baseball cap on and he's fine. So,
I mean, if the issue is keeping the peace in your family, especially like, you know, while you're in the room, I mean, they're a sponsor of the show, but I still recommend them. All-Star Vacation Home might be a better option. You're going to need a lot more space. You're going to need everything you're looking for that you talked about, the kitchen, everyone gets their own bathroom. How cool would that be, right?
Right.
An extra bathroom, yeah.
And if you're already committed to the idea of driving anyway, I mean, to me, it seems like a better deal.
For me, the All-Star, for me, that means off-property.
Yeah.
And I truly enjoy my EMH nights. I really enjoy those. So I would have to give those up. And that is not, you know, there's something with the magic of watching the castle do that last kiss goodnight at 1 o'clock in the morning that I just love.
There's always the family suite. You get two bathrooms.
Okay.
Really and truly,
Art of Animation will be open in June, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could do that, Jennifer.
Okay. So your idea of the cabins is an absolutely no, then.
I like the cabins quite a bit. I think I have one daughter. It'd be a no-brainer for me to bring her to the cabins. Two, I just worry about the bathroom situation more than the space, because the space is, you're gonna have about 520 square feet either in the suites.
We usually go to Pop Century and Port Orleans.
So you're gonna have like two Pop Century rooms. But one bathroom at the cabins. But you will have a full kitchen.
Yeah, I'm also looking at that because I do have some, I talked to you guys about, I have high blood pressure and sodium and that kind of concern. And honestly, a lot of the counter services were not as open-minded to the idea of, I gotta have a low sodium diet. And so we're thinking of the cabin and aspect of, you know, I can make myself some low sodium something. I can have fruit in the fridge, that kind of thing, where it's going to take down a little bit of the cost and make it easier to eat.
I like the cabins. I like the cabin idea.
A lot of people in the chat room are recommending for you perhaps renting DVC points, and then you get to stay on property, you get a much bigger room, and it'll be a better value in terms of what you get for the money versus the cabins.
Yeah, we went through these options on Friday's show, right?
Yes, we talked about this on. You might want to listen to Friday's show, and then also tomorrow's show as well.
Yeah, so we did this thing called Would You Rather, and we set out all these different options, like would you rather stay at the cabins or rent a vacation home or rent DVC points, and it's really interesting. Look at the show notes as well, because we actually break down the prices and everything.
Okay, I will do that. Absolutely. Thank you so much, guys.
You're welcome. Good luck, Jennifer.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Bye bye.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And let's say aloha to Donna from Hawaii. Hey, Donna.
Aloha.
Hey, Matt. Well, it's Donna from Hawaii for only a couple more hours.
Uh-oh.
I'm at the airport, and we're moving back to the mainland.
Wow.
Or two.
Say it ain't so.
I know. But the good news is we'll be on the East Coast in Virginia, so it's a very short hop down to Disney World. And that's my silver lining on the cloud.
Well, you know, Hawaii, Virginia, it's really the same difference.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Virginia, of course, is a loose confederation of islands for those of our listeners who are not familiar with American geography. Virginia, maybe 10 or 15 islands. That's why West Virginia is actually a little bit farther out to sea.
Matt, cue the song.
Here you go.
Mountain highway.
Exactly. So, anyway,
Blue Ridge Mountain.
Shenandoah
River.
I will
be there for the 1,000th show. So I'm super excited.
Nice. I should totally go to that.
I know. I registered, and at first, when I registered with MEI, I was worried because it looked like you were going to start earlier in the week, and I'm not getting there until Thursday. But then I just saw all the stuff on the website, and so... I only have one park day on my ticket, and I'm using it to come see you guys at Epcot.
Yay.
And
funny.
I know. Saturday, I'm not sure I'm going to do Saturday because we've got to go and pick up our race packets for the Princess Half Marathon. Super excited about that, too.
Nice.
Well, Scopa, do you think you could do both? Is that reasonable? Pick up packet and attend if the event's at 12:30?
I think so.
I think
well, the Princess, I mean, that, where are you staying?
We are staying at Port Orleans French Quarter.
Well, I think that, I'm guessing that everyone would be done with the race by 9:30, get back to the resort about, 10:15, take a quick shower, and you could be back, 11:15 or whatever. I think it's possible.
I thought the race was Sunday morning. On the 26th.
Yeah, Sunday at 5:45 a.m.
Sunday the 26th, yeah. Because Saturday the 25th is when you guys are doing the lunch over at, what is it, Boardwalk?
Atlantic Dance Hall.
Okay, on the Boardwalk. Or Downtown Disney, whatever it is. I've never been to the Atlantic Dance Hall, so I have no idea where it is. But we'll see. We're gonna try and work that in. That's kind of a we'll see. And I guess I'll have to buy my tickets and make a commitment at some point. But I was also calling you to let you know I just because we're leaving the island and I'm so sad that we're leaving. I made my husband get me 2 nights at Aulani, so we'll just get 2 nights out at Aulani.
Nice. How'd you like it?
Very nice. I've been out there a couple of times for lunches and actually met Becky out there. But I was a little disappointed with the food. It tasted okay, but they don't have enough restaurants. I guess they're counting on you maybe using the restaurants that are in the hotels right next door, or there's a little shopping center kind of a thing across the street with some food options. But then last night I ended up getting food poisoning, so it was today's not a good day to get on an airplane, but I do what you gotta do. But it was very pretty, and I would definitely say an awesome place for families to come to Hawaii, avoid Waikiki at all costs, and head out to Aulani.
Well, thanks for calling, Donna, and good luck with the move.
Yeah, and I'll see you guys in a month.
Yeah.
Yep, see you there.
Good luck with the race, too.
Aloha.
Aloha.
And for anyone who's interested, by the way, in the 1,000th episode, tickets for the event going on, that's going to be coming up this week. The Mouse Fan Travel, people that booked with the Mouse Fan Travel package will get access to it on Tuesday, and everyone else will have access on Wednesday. There's lots of room. This is a huge venue. It's the Atlantic Dance Hall, so realistically, we should be good with numbers here. Look for tweets and Facebook messages and stuff like that, and you'll see all the links you'll need.
Hey, Matt.
Just in case, because she wasn't sure exactly where that was. That's a Boardwalk, not Downtown Disney. So,
yes, good point.
And Matt,
the Boardwalk Resort.
We might want to tease that there might be some sort of world premiere.
Yes, something that no one's ever heard of.
That's right.
Of the four of us. Is going to be premiered at the 1,000th episode already. We have something planned, and it's going to be awesome. You're really going to enjoy it, so you're definitely want to be there. More details this week. All right, let's go to our next call. Hi, who are we talking with?
Hi, this is Kevin from the Bay Area.
Kevin.
How's it going, Kevin?
Great. Okay. So I've got a snarky comment from Matt and a sincere question. Do you care which order they come in?
Oh, please, comment, please.
All right, so Matt, you still have not seen Festival of the Lion King, right?
That's correct, sir.
Really?
So,
La Nuba.
Matt?
Also true.
So, Matt, if I said that I went to Disney's Hollywood Studios and was not unimpressed, but I didn't attend Fantasmic or didn't ride Tower of Terror, would you say that I perhaps had missed something?
You would be correct, sir.
Just saying.
I'm not seeing any. I'm not seeing correlation here. But continue with your question.
All right. So, obviously, I'm a big fan of the Animal Kingdom, and I noticed, of course, that Studio Central is really unique in that it is a website devoted to one park, not all of the parks. And I don't really see that many other websites of that scope. If I was thinking about doing a Animal Kingdom website along the same lines, what would be your advice? And not, you know, take out the fact that you're not a fan of the park as a criteria.
AKCentral.com.
I think with any website, it doesn't matter if it's about Animal Kingdom, any aspect of any website, really. My advice is you got to be consistent with it. You know, it's very easy to get excited about it and do it well for 2-3 months and then drop the ball because stuff comes up. Everyone's got stuff that comes up in their lives, and all too often, I have bookmarks that are littered with dead websites, and dead being they're just not updated anymore. So my advice is pick something that works. Like, don't be too, you know, build up. Don't like assume that you can do everything all at once, and do what you can maintain and just keep it, you know, keep it going. That's the biggest thing ever. As soon as people see that, you know, oh, you know, you've seen those messages. Oh, sorry for not a lot of updates, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now we're really going to be updated. And then 6 months go by. Oh, this time I really mean it. So the best websites that we all love are all the ones that never die. They never stop being updated. And I think that's more than anything the most important thing you can ever do if you're considering making a website.
Good advice. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, anytime. Good luck with it. Send us the link. We'd love to see it.
All right.
407-278-5939. Let's keep things rolling here. And don't forget to join us in our chat room. It's at live.wdwtoday.com. A lot of fun in there, sharing people's comments. And right now, everyone's making fun of me, but, you know, take the good with the bad. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Somebody from Pittsburgh.
Hello? 416 area code. Go.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Meredith in Toronto. Really enjoy all that you do. Keep doing it beyond show 1000, I hope.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Matt, I wrote in with a question about the Lynx bus, and I just thought since it was a live show, I could ask about it. What are your thoughts on using the Lynx bus to get to the mall, like the Florida mall? How accessible is it? How safe is it? And where do I get the bus? I'll be staying on property at Pop Century. Thanks.
The only place you can pick up the bus is at the TTC.
There's a couple places you can. There's a Lynx bus stop, I think, over by Old Key West as well.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. I was only aware of the Magic Kingdom. Anyway, I wouldn't recommend it. Their schedules are a little not. It's not the most efficient way of getting from point A to point B. Frankly, if I were you, I would spend the money on a cab if you really want to go, or a rental car. Probably a better investment, to be honest. I mean, it's serviceable, but it's public transportation. So, and it's not. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's different opinions on the clientele that use the bus, but
transportation is a life skill. You gotta learn how to do it.
I'm not sure. The other issue is that you're probably gonna have to transfer. I doubt the bus. There's only one bus that goes to the Disney World property, and it goes to, I know that it goes between Magic Kingdom and 192.
And, yeah, I'm looking at the
so you have to transfer somewhere.
Well, there's a couple places you could transfer. You could either transfer it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no one liked that answer, Matt.
That was someone on the bus, actually. They just drove by.
You could transfer at the – so you could take the 7 from the – oh, no. Here we go. The 111 goes from Disney University. Where's that, Matt?
That's over by Saratoga.
Okay, Disney University over by Saratoga.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to the Florida Mall. It's Lynx Bus Route 111.
And you go to check out the website.
GoLynx.com. GOLYNX.com. Take a look at that. It runs 5 a.m. It's 5 a.m. to midnight, so it runs a long time.
Very good. Thanks, everybody.
No problem. Good luck.
Hey, thanks.
407-278-5939. Next phone call is from Alex. Hey, Alex.
In Miami.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How's Miami?
Actually, I'm not there currently. I'm in UCF. I actually met you in the studios a couple weeks ago. A couple things real quick. Just in response to the Lynx question, I do take Lynx whenever I go to the parks. It's a public transportation service, but it's not when you're taking it from Disney World, a lot of times you'll meet, you know, tourists who are going back and forth to SeaWorld. So those people are nice, but there's a lot of, you know, not so awesome people on there.
Go ahead. Absolutely. Alex, go ahead.
There is a Lynx stop in downtown Disney. There's the Marketplace buses and the Pleasure Island buses. But if you actually walk past La Nuba, there is a whole row of buses which services all of the Lynx buses and all those other stuff. So that's where you can catch Lynx there.
There you go.
Yep. My first question for you guys is about the $10 ADR surcharge or whatever.
Yep.
If you go ahead and you make a reservation for, you know, four people and two of them show up, will they charge you the $10 per the two people that didn't show up, or is it just
you're good. As long as one person shows up, you're cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. All right, well, awesome show. Keep up the good work. Hope to see you past 1,000. And otherwise, have a good night, guys.
Cool. Thanks, Alex.
Ran into Alex on Sunset Boulevard.
That's true. This might be the last. This might be the last phone-in call show.
Oh my God! It is.
What do you mean, mice?
It's the last live show.
I just realized.
Next call. Hi, who are we speaking with?
It's Liz from Chicago.
Hey, Liz.
Hey guys. First of all, did anyone tell Len that the Tower of Terror is the best WDW attraction? And did anyone tell Liz? Cleopatra isn't the only queen of denial?
Thank you. You did
both. Liz, best caller ever. Go ahead, Liz. The floor is yours, ma'am.
Lord.
All right. I just actually had a follow-up to the would you rather question.
If it's spring break,
is it better for me to stay on property at a Valley Resort versus taking the teacher discount at the Swan so that I can do the early extra magic hours?
Good.
Damn.
Good one.
Ooh, so teacher discount is how much a night?
Anywhere from, you know, $139 to $179, depending on which days in March you go.
$139 to $179. So let me look at this actually, because we have by the way, we actually cover spring break in tomorrow's episode.
Oh. Another reason to listen in.
Everyone in chat is saying Swan. Murfinator 2000 and Boston Deb.
Let's see. So $139 a night. The All Star Music. So just for comparison's sake, the All Star Music is going to run you about between $145 and $150 a night.
Okay.
You're going to be better off at.
Plus the parking, though, right?
Yeah, and resort fee.
Still. Well, and I'm going to toss out there: it's spring break, and there's a lot of teachers trying to get those rates, and they only have a certain number of rooms. So the sooner you book it, the better. If you're looking for a teacher discount.
Okay.
So everyone just added to my to-do list. Thank you.
When's your spring break?
March 24th to April 1st.
Yep.
So it's the week. I know it's the week, which is why I didn't know if that extra magic hour in the morning
Let me give you one more option. So if you see, instead of it being $145 to $150 a night, if you start looking at around $175 a night when you put in the fees, what about a studio at Animal Kingdom Lodge using points? That's about the same price, $175 a night.
Because that would work as well.
Yeah. So listen to tomorrow's show. We actually go over that specific option, and then we give you links and stuff to find these deals.
Great. And I have a quick what if question. If someone said to you, any of the four, that you were thinking that, you know, someone says, oh, I love Italian food, I'm going to Tony Town Square. And you go, no, don't go there. Go to, you know, be in Napoli. Don't count Cinderella's table because we all know how you feel about it. Someone says a restaurant and you say no, and you tell them to go somewhere else. What's your eat this, not that restaurant?
Ooh. I mean, I think generally, anytime anybody says anything about going to eat at China,
yeah,
we either say, you know, look at
go to Waffle House,
Asian food, there are better options, or if you must, we'll direct him to specific dishes in China.
I will say, if someone asks me for an opinion on where in Epcot to eat for counter service, especially anywhere in Future World, I always say go to Sunshine Seasons. It's not even close.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so
great.
Much, so much, so many choices.
I love it over there. It's just great. Good quality, great choices. You know, I think fair prices for Disney.
Great. Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Bye. It's too bad you have to say for Disney.
Exactly. 407-278-5939. We have our next call on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Hi, my name's Caleb Ruckel, and I'm from Austin, Texas.
I was going to say that.
Sorry. Wait, what?
I was going to say you're from Texas. Go ahead, Caleb.
Hi. I was listening to the podcast today about, the best dining in the resorts. And my parents and I are going to the World in about a year from now, and we are, you know, already planning our ADRs.
Wow.
And we're really bad about keeping them, but we wanted to go to dinner at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and I was wondering if we should go to Boma or Sanaa.
Ooh, great question.
Wow. Oh, that's a good question.
Wow. Do you like Indian food?
Oh, I love Indian food, but my parents aren't as adventurous as I am.
Sanaa.
You know, Sanaa does have spicier food than Boma, but I don't know if I'd go as far as to say it's authentic Indian food.
I think this is going to be either a unanimous or near unanimous vote, but go ahead.
I think it's Sanaa. I mean, not taking anything from Boma. Boma is good, but I just prefer the food at Sanaa so much more. Plus, it's a better view. Boma, you're going to be looking at people at the pool.
I think the food is better at Sanaa as well, Caleb, and I think your parents will find something that they like, especially if you convey what you just said to your wait staff. They will go out of their way to find something that they can enjoy.
Definitely, because I don't like spicy food, and that's what I had to do. I had to go, just help me through the menu. I don't want anything really, really spicy, and they were great.
There are yogurt sauce things. I mean, there's right. You could do rice dishes. I mean, just they could fill up a naan, which, I mean, it's fabulous.
Oh, so good.
I know. Tell me, like, just keep it coming. Look, and just keep the naan coming until I fall face down into my food. And then after that, every 5 minutes, you know.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. And thanks for the show. I'm sad to hear y'all are going to be ending soon.
All good things must come to an end, Caleb.
Caleb, don't lose too much sleep.
Go through the archives.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. It'll be good. Good times.
Why do you have to mess with Caleb so much, guys? Just saying.
That was a great question.
I'm glad question. I should be helpful.
Thanks, Caleb. Hey, call
Caleb.
Us back before
right.
you go.
I think we should have a group dinner at
call
Sanaa.
Call us back before you go next year.
Yeah, we'll pay for you guys. Don't worry. Just come on down.
Yeah, next week, do that.
See, you shouldn't have said that with Matt listening.
All right, cool.
And Ed, I love the idea for a 1,000th show, maybe a group dinner at Sanaa.
That's a great idea. I would love to. In fact, I actually went out today for Indian food.
Wait a minute, he almost said he would love to, what?
Yeah, pay? Exactly. Pay. Lance, hear that, everyone? Lance Lang. Let's go to Sanaa.
I almost went for Indian food today, but it was closed. It didn't open until 5, and Laurel and I wanted it for lunch.
All the more reason, my friend. Let's make a group. Annette, make it happen.
He stopped right before
welcome
saying
to Sanaa.
Didn't he?
I think we have to read between the lines. You know, the man is putting out stuff there. He doesn't have to say everything. He has to spell it out for us.
No, take it and run.
Someone in I love it, Lens, in chat room, Jeff Rent said, Testa bombing Sanaa.
Mr. Testa, is the other person here for your party of two? Why, yes. Yes, we are.
Nice. I love that, Testa bombing.
All right, Raleigh.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Outstanding evening, Matt.
Hello.
Hi, Frank here, longtime listener, just down the road from Len and Annette in Charlotte.
Charlotte. That was close. It was North Carolina.
Oh, 704. Whoa, what was I thinking?
Oh, I was thinking 919. What was I thinking? Sorry.
704, yep.
Yep.
How's it going,
Charlotte.
Frank?
Good. I know you guys hosts are not real fans of the Disney Dining Plan, and this really isn't about the merits of the Disney Dining Plan. Just kind of give you some context. My wife and I take an annual Hodge to the World, and we love Scopa Towers.
Last four years,
we've gone during October for the Food and Wine Festival, and we've always snagged free dining. Well, okay, lately we've had to upgrade from the quick service plan to the regular dining plan, but with the Food and Wine snack credits, we've been able to use our sit-down dining credits to eat at 3 or 4 signature restaurants. Okay, long lead-in, but here's my question. We read recently that Fulton's Crab House in Downtown Disney is now accepting the dining plan for 2 credits. But when you read the menu, like many upscale steak restaurants, the meat or fish course is just that, and vegetable and sides are extra.
Yeah.
So does anyone know if Fulton's offers a vegetable side as part of the 2-credit Disney dining plan, or is there a separate prefix kind of menu? thanks for all you guys have done over the years as we stay down south. Love the Mickey Love. See y'all later.
Very good.
Wow, that's a great question. So a lot of places do this, right? Shula's does this. You order the steak separate from your sides, right? And it's not like things that come together.
Right.
Wow, that's an interesting question. Let's see.
Annette, do you know the answer by chance?
No. So I don't think it does. So if I'm looking at the rules of the PDF, it says you get an entree, you get a dessert, and you get a beverage. Nothing there about sides.
Hmm. Okay. And of course,
I have a really strange voice these days. Just saying.
Sorry. I would be surprised if you did. Now the one thing I would say is this: is if you're trading in two signature meals, do you get, well, you don't get two entrees, but would you get, they may be flexible on it. My sense is the answer is no, but anyway.
Okay. Let's move on to our next call. Hi, who's on the air with us? Hello?
Hi. My name is Sarah Phillips, and I'm from Marston, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi. So my question is, how long do you would you recommend to stay at Aulani if you're going to see everything?
Ooh, Annette, you've been there.
How long would I go to Aulani? Where was she from?
Forever.
Wait a minute. Where was she
Pennsylvania.
From? Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. You, I went over there and I only went for 3 nights, and that was not long enough. But just to see the Aulani Resort, you know, 3-4 days. But there's other things outside of there in Hawaii you'd want to see, especially coming from the East Coast, adjusting to time zones and stuff. So, you know, I think a week would be a really good trip over. And plus the cost of airfare to go over and then to come back, you want to get a little more bang for your buck.
Annette,
if you're going all that distance.
Annette, I don't think she's worried about airfare.
Well, I'm sorry. There's other people listening, too.
Sorry.
Tell Mom and Dad they need to go for a week.
Okay,
Becky?
And
go ahead.
Where would you go for the best food, too?
I had a really good meal with Goofy while I was there. I had breakfast, and Goofy sat with me. That was really good. The restaurants there, I actually enjoyed when I was there. I ate there on property. I never went off outside to eat, but I got to eat by the pool and have some fish tacos and eat by the beach and then eat with Goofy for breakfast.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Oh, bye.
Bye.
Great question.
How
and
cute.
In our chat room, Becky Mankin from Indiana Mouse Fan Travels recommending 5 to 6 days, 7 if you want to do other stuff outside of Aulani.
Don't forget, if you're going from the East Coast to Hawaii, that's a huge jump in time zones. That's what, like 8 time zones? It's gonna take you 2 or 3 days to get acclimated to that.
I'm just gonna say I don't recommend going for a 3-night stay, which is so messed up.
By the third night, your body's like, okay, I think I got a handle on this, right? And then you're like, never mind, going back to East Coast. I've heard that your body can do like 1 to maybe 1.5, maybe 2 time zone adjustments per day. So to give you an idea, that means a 4-day minimum stay to get adjusted.
I had a 7:30 spa appointment. I was up and waiting for 4.5 hours.
Hello. Yes. Yes.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Hello, this is Dennis from Massachusetts.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much. How about you guys? First of all, I'd like to tell everybody how much I weed my wife, and I really enjoy this show. And I'd like to say hi to everybody out there. And I guess got a couple quick questions for you. One, we're going to be coming down Thursday, and we're going to be staying at the Pop Century for one night. Where would you guys suggest staying? What building would you guys suggest staying there?
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you like to be near a lot of activity? Do you like to be quiet? Do you want to be able to find a good parking spot at night?
Yeah, we'd probably just like to be quiet and find a good parking space. How's that?
My suggestion would be the 80s or the 90s.
80s and 90s, okay. All righty. Now, we're also going to be down there for Super Bowl Sunday. We try getting into the ESPN zone, but we got to get there like at 11 o'clock in the morning. Where else would you recommend watching the Super Bowl at?
Any of the lounges should have the game on. Like, I'm thinking like Port Orleans. I know both the River Roost Lounge and the Scat Cat Lounge should both, they'll have them on anywhere that has TVs, and a lot of the bars in the resorts. I know those two specifically have TVs. I know that they have TVs in the, not Martha's Vineyard, the other one.
Ariel's?
Oh my gosh.
Not Ariel's.
Cruise Cup Lounge. They have TVs over there.
Okay.
So lounges that have TVs are great. Rick's Lounge and Coronado Springs, I'm seeing in the chat room.
I've seen a huge screen television right outside Ohana's too, right at the bar there.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago. It's funny.
Yeah, they're gonna play Disney stuff there. You think they're gonna? Oh no.
They play games.
I remember a couple of years ago. I stayed at Disney for the Super Bowl weekend, and they had TV. They like brought in TVs to set up. That was at Port Orleans, and they brought in TVs for people to watch, like in common areas, like in the lobby. So. You should have – I mean, ESPN Zone is going to be a zoo. If I were you, I wouldn't even bother. It's just not – to me, I don't like that kind of aggravation with trying to just fight people all day to enjoy it.
What kind of aggravation do you like?
We just didn't want to watch it on the small TV in the room. That was all. So we just figured to try to get something
else. Any of the bars. Almost any of the bars should probably have.
Okay.
I was going to say one more thing. Are you going to have a car?
Yes, we are.
You might want to. I'm assuming you're rooting for the Patriots.
Oh yes.
You might want to just Google what New England Patriot bars there are in the Kissimmee area. I know that when the Steelers, bless them, Steelers were in the playoffs, they made it far enough in. I Googled Pittsburgh Steeler bars in the Kissimmee area, and there were like 20 that they go to watch the game. So if you want to watch it in a friendly environment. Just Google, Patriots bars, Kissimmee or Orlando, and that might be another option for you.
No problem. That would be great. Just a couple more questions for you. Just, are you guys kidding about, we haven't listened to any of the tapes. We usually tape the shows. Are you guys really going to quit after the 1,000th show, or what's going on with that? Are you guys just fooling around?
Did we lose the call?
We have been sworn to secrecy. We made a pact.
Oh, yeah. You made a pact.
Matt's not in the pact.
No, Matt's not in.
I'm going to go off and do a solo album. I don't know. I can't speak for anyone else.
All right. Hey, Matt, can I kid you about something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Last year, Matt, my wife and I came down, and we wanted to meet you, and we were supposed to meet you at 11 o'clock over in front of the Brown Derby in the Hollywood Studios. Well, we waited there for you. My wife ends up getting sick, ends up in the hospital, and you had to make a cable appointment.
So you were AJ'd, huh?
Yeah. So my question is to you is, how do we get to meet you this year?
Send me an email, and I will – and make sure you let me know that you were the dude who we
– that
I didn't get – whatever. Didn't get a chance to see, and I will do my very best to make it happen, assuming I'm – if I'm in the studios, I will definitely be there.
Okay. You normally go on Sundays, don't you?
Yes, Sunday mornings.
Okay, great. Okay, well, we're planning on doing that anyway, and we're going to be there for 2 weeks, so if we miss you one Sunday, we might be able to catch you on the next one. So,
perfect. That should work.
All right. That's it.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Frankly, I don't think he's missing much, but that's me. And you lost your audio.
You might be a little disappointed.
Len, I'm hearing you're replacing me with Gary Sharon.
Len stepped away.
Oh, Len stepped away.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Yes.
Thanks.
And fix your audio.
International. And we have our next call on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Hey, it's Melissa from South Korea.
Hey, Melissa.
How are you?
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good morning.
I am great. Thank you. I was just going to call in and harass you guys because it's the last live show, and then I realized that I actually have a question for Len.
Is
he back yet? Len,
are you back?
Len went to the little boy's room.
All right. Well, should we just talk amongst ourselves until he comes back? What do you guys want to talk about?
Let's talk about Len.
Well, the Civil War. It was neither civil It was a war.
Can I ask, Scopa, have you ever done the goofy thing at Marathon Weekend?
Well, this past weekend, what I did is I did the 5K, I did the half on Saturday, and I did the marathon relay on Sunday. I wanted to see how that worked, so I did one of the legs for that. So, I mean,
wow.
I think you know, Melissa, having done this, you really need to train. That's the key. But I think anybody can do the goofy as long as you train. I think anybody can do it. Do it now.
How did your legs feel on Sunday after the half? Like waking up the next day.
It was fine because what I had done is since coming back from the Disneyland half marathon, what I had been doing is I had been building up back to back running. So I was doing like double digit back to back running workouts on the weekend. So I'd run 10 miles on a Saturday and 10 miles on a Sunday. So I got used to the recovery. The big thing is the recovery between the first and the second race. That's the key. So I was fine on Sunday. As a matter of fact, I felt better after doing three races back to back to back than I had the very first time I had ever done a half marathon. So,
Len's
wow,
back.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Len, you got a question for you, my friend.
Oh, sorry about that. I wanted to get some
it's
more.
It's from South Korea.
South Korea. Wow. Okay, go ahead.
I'll keep it in English. I know you did the Goofy in 2012, and I wanted to say congrats. And I'm looking to do that in 2013, and I wanted to know how you felt on Sunday, like just mentally and physically, knowing that you had a full marathon ahead of you after doing the half, and how everything felt like. What was that process like?
I didn't prepare as well as I could have forced. I really didn't train a lot, so mentally I was really nervous. Physically, I probably wasn't in as bad a shape as I thought I was. The a couple of things I did wrong. One is I took it way too easy in the half marathon, and so it took longer than I wanted, and that wasn't very fun. I also got out of my normal routine. Like in the morning, I drink coffee, you know, I have a normal breakfast, and I didn't do that like on the Thursday, Friday, or Saturday of the race, and that wasn't very good. So I'm gonna try and keep to a number one, I'm gonna train more. Number two, I'm gonna stick to a more normal routine for the race. I would say this. I did the runner's retreat both Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
And just from a mental perspective, being able to sit down in a tent that was heated and have, you know, semi-private bathrooms available to me is just the peace of mind is worth the $120 or whatever it is to cost to do it. So I would definitely do that again.
And the most important thing that I found with that, and I did the runner's retreat with you on Saturday, is the ability to shove protein into your body is immediately following the race, so that you can recover real quickly.
Yeah, so I mean, literally within 20 minutes of finishing, I was sitting down to, you know, eggs and sausage and toast and other stuff. It was fabulous, and I actually felt really good after Saturday's race. Took a couple of Advil and I was fine. My Sunday, I completely screwed up my hydration again. I overhydrated, so my stomach was upset all day Sunday. Literally, I think I told the story on the show. Sunday night, like at midnight, I my stomach was so upset that I thought, well, okay, something has burst, or I've got an alien growing inside of me, or whatever. And if I'm gonna die, at least I'm gonna have this frozen pizza that I've been saving, up for to have dinner one night. So I put a frozen pizza in the oven. Literally at 1 o'clock in the morning. Drank two Cokes and then went to bed and I felt better. So,
how did you spend the rest of Saturday? Did you tour? Did you just sit by the pool? Like, what's the best thing to do that day of the first race?
We went walked through World Showcase. So we finished running, walked through World Showcase. I think I got some tequila at La Cava. Cool. We went and saw the film in France. Maybe ate something in Morocco, I think. It was I didn't overdo it. I think we did one loop and then said, you know, one loop around Epcot and called it a day. But so I kept moving and stuff. But I didn't and I wasn't out partying till, 1 o'clock in the morning or anything. Where are you staying?
I think we're gonna do a split stay, 4 nights at Bay Lake and 4 nights at Wilderness Lodge, because I wanna eat at Whispering Canyon after the half marathon. Like, that's my breakfast goal.
That's your thing?
That's my thing. Breakfast skillet, man.
Exactly. I've actually done that and it's fabulous. My second half marathon. That was my post-race breakfast treat. And I think I literally ate the entire skillet myself. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. Yeah, go do that. Nice. That should be fun. Cool.
Thanks for calling in.
Well, thanks, you guys, for everything. And I'm totally in denial that this is the end. I think you guys are a lot like Stephen King. He keeps saying this is my last book, but I think it mentally keeps him sane. So I think you guys will be gone for 2 months, and then it'll all come back.
We're insane.
Thanks.
407-278-5939. Let's go with line number two here. Hi, who's on the air with us?
This is Bob from Fort Worth.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing? I have a couple of questions. I was looking in the unofficial guide about travel on the resort car versus Walt Disney World.
Yep.
We're staying at Saratoga Springs, and it seems like maybe that's an anomaly, but it seems that car is usually slower than the WDW transportation. What do you think about that?
Going to where?
Well, I mean, most any of the theme parks, really.
It's interesting. We're actually updating this transportation chart right now, and the first two places that we're starting with are Old Key West and Saratoga Springs. When's your trip, Bob?
Yes, 6 weeks from today, spring break.
I might take Disney transportation to the Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But Saratoga Springs to anywhere else, we have to update it. That transportation chart might be a little outdated. I would drive. Would anyone not drive from Saratoga Springs?
No, I'd have to agree with you, Len. I think driving's the way to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Magic Kingdom is.
Except for the Magic Kingdom. And, from Saratoga Springs, by the way, you can walk to Downtown Disney.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Probably should.
For hoop-de-doo, the best thing is to drive, right?
Drive. Oh, yeah. If you're going actually it's true for any two resorts that aren't directly connected, like monorail, not monorail resorts, because monorail resorts are directly connected, but like any two resorts, Port Orleans to Fort Wilderness or Contemporary to Animal Kingdom Lodge, driving is always faster.
I had one last question for Newell. For as far as a restaurant preference, Nine Dragons or Hawaii Sea?
Hawaii Sea every time, right, Tony? Tony in the chat room, by the way.
Oh, I have a question for Bob before he goes.
Go ahead, Bob. Go ahead, Lon.
Go ahead, Bob. Bob, can you recommend a good steak place in Fort Worth? I have a friend going.
Okay. Well, there's a Del Frisco's here like there is in Orlando.
Okay.
And that's probably the best one here. That's number one. There's some other ones that are good. There's a Silver Fox, which is supposed to be good. But I think Del Frisco's, or there's a place called Riata, downtown Fort Worth. It's very kind of Texas-looking. They're very good. But if you like Del Frisco's, either in Orlando or in Las Vegas, you'll like it here, too.
Bob, how do you know about Hawaii Sea?
Oh, I grew up in the Bronx.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
Yeah. I even grew up across the street from a man named Mike Scopa, but he had black hair, and it could have changed to white, but I think he was only about 5'4", so I don't think it was the same Scopa.
That's funny. Where about in the Bronx, Bob?
At Morris Park.
Oh, I grew up on Hone and Pierce.
Oh, look, it's a reunion.
Oh, welcome back, Cotter.
I was on Wallace Avenue on the dead end where the Con Edison was.
Yeah, I could have walked there. Where'd you go to? You go to high school in New York or in Texas?
Oh, yeah. I went to Our Lady of Solace, just like Regis Philbin, for elementary school, and I took the Q44 to Monsignor Scanlon.
Oh, that's
And I went
funny.
To Fordham for college.
Small world.
Take it out.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah. After
all right, thank you very much.
Take care, Bob.
And we want to remind all of our listeners
about
our sponsor for today's live show. And that's, of course, touringplans.com. And if you're planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland even, touringplans.com has the resources to help you get around those large crowds. Because, you know, after all, when you're getting excited for your trip, you're thinking about the fun times you're going to have riding Splash Mountain and all the how who's going to scream loudest on Tower of Terror. And you know, with all those
best attraction
you're thinking about and all the excitement that you're building up, the last thing you get excited about or even think about are the long lines. Because before you can scream on Tower of Terror or get wet on Splash Mountain, you're going to have to wait online. But the thing is, you don't have to wait on long lines. TouringPlans.com has the resources for you to get around those long lines, see everything you want to see, and have those great memories without the memories of waiting in the really, really, really boring lines. Check them out right now at TouringPlans.com. And we'll get things going, keep things going, rather, in our second hour of WW Today live here on January 2012. We have, don't forget, you can call us, 407-278-5939 is our phone number. And join us in our chat room. It's at live.wwtoday.com. And you can also view video. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, next call on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Yes, hi. This is Phil in Deerfield Beach, Florida. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. Phil? Phil Connors?
Good. I'm sorry. Yeah, I got a question. This coming weekend, I'm actually going to be going up to attempt the Magic Kingdom Ultimate Touring Plan.
Ooh!
And
good luck.
Yeah, thanks. It seems to be that everyone gets hung up on the vehicles of Main Street, and I wanted to know what your best strategy for getting to ride these would be.
So you got to do it. You got to do it early, and it's got to be a round trip. By early, you know, they usually end those things around 10 or 11. Okay. So you're going to have to spend a little bit of your valuable morning time, you know, looking for the trolley or the fire truck or whatever it is that they're running on that day. I say by 11 o'clock, they're definitely done for the day with those things. It's almost certainly just something they do in the morning. So don't wait too long to get over there. What day are you doing it? Saturday, Sunday?
Saturday.
Okay, cool.
And so, I mean, and you find them just basically by the firehouse? I mean, that's where I've seen them stationary. I've never actually seen them moving when I've been there.
Yeah, they'll be somewhere between, you know, the central hub mm-hmm. and the fire station or the train station down there. They spend a little bit of time at either end, kind of picking people up. So if you're gonna pick them up in one of those two places. But again, the big thing there is to get there early. Park's open until midnight, right? Saturday.
Yeah, it looks like I'm gonna have about 15 hours, so should be good. It's just that's the only step that really worried me a little bit. And then as far as shows go, as far as acceptable evidence, I mean, I get the parade, you know, the first float, last float, but as far as shows, is that kind of the beginning of the show, end of the show, or how do you evidence that?
A picture somewhere in the middle or towards the end of the show is fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was planning on using multiple video cameras basically just to kind of get everything. Is that's acceptable as well?
Sure. I mean, we're looking for some evidence that you were on the show and that, you know, there's a little bit of an honor system there to make sure that you stayed there, you know, the entire time. So yeah, one photo from each attraction is usually good enough.
All right, sounds good. Well, thank you very much.
Cool. Good luck, Phil.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Phil? 407-278-5939. We're aware there is an issue with the chat room, and we are working on it right now, so let's keep things going with our next call. Hi. Who's on the air with us?
This is Chris Wakefield from Wakefield Report. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Pretty good. I've got a bit of a dilemma, though. I wonder if you guys can help me out.
Yeah, shoot.
Okay, so I'm going to... the Magic Kingdom for the 24-hour party on February 29th. But here's my dilemma. The party's going to be over March 1st at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get a hotel because I'm not going to want to run around the city all day. I need to get a hotel for that day, but no hotel really lets you check in between 6 a.m. and 11 or 12 p.m. So what can I do?
Get the room the night before as well.
Yeah,
I would have to burn a day.
Yeah.
But you'd have to actually pay for a hotel that you didn't stay in for a day. Yes.
Right.
But that's the only way to guarantee
you'll get in at 6 a.m. That's right.
Yeah.
What about maybe All-Star Vacation Homes? Could I get that for that March 1st?
just for the one, you're going to have a check-in time of like 10 or 11.
Okay. So it looks like I'm going to have to get a hotel room for an extra day.
Yeah, we know we haven't done as much research as you would think about hotels that rent by the hour. I just realized when you were talking about this, Chris, that this is a gap in our knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I could think of is a day room at the Hyatt at the airport, but that's
there might be other hotels that do day rooms. I just don't know of any.
I've never even thought about it. I don't know. I was thinking tent in Fort Wilderness, but that's how. Yeah, I don't know, man.
But your site might not be clean because we ran into that once before.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And I doubt he would let me sleep in my car in the parking lot.
You wouldn't be.
If you're gonna be the Magic Kingdom, just let me know. We're probably gonna have a room somewhere that people can crash at. If you need like an app, let me know. Let me know when you get there.
I missed the first hour of the show. Have you guys announced any meets and times yet?
Well, we already. We're going to test the bomb Sanaa, we've heard.
Yeah.
On Friday.
That's the big thing.
I already made an ADR for 14 people.
Did you really?
Sweet. And then, and I encourage others to make large ADRs for about 7:30 or 8 o'clock. And then we hinted at a special surprise that we're going to have on the episode 1000 recording. Already, we have something that's going to be brand new, no one's ever heard before.
Not even
on WW Today. Not even Annette.
Or Len.
They will not let me hear it.
Len hasn't heard it either.
I haven't heard it.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys very much. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, Tristan.
Thank you.
Hey, man. See you on the 29th.
Yeah. 407-278-5939. Next call is from Mary from California. Hey, Mary.
Hey. I am so excited. Let me turn my computer down.
Thank you.
And now, I am so excited because I get to come to the 1000th episode.
I should go to that.
And, the thing is, I booked with my son Travel for the All-Star Sports. I've only ever stayed at a moderate and a deluxe. And I know because I'm not going to be in my room much, it's not going to be a problem. And I just want you to tell me, can I survive a value?
Yeah, I think so. You're not sitting there for a week. A couple of nights won't kill you. I mean, I'm not a big fan, but, you know, I mean, I don't know, Ned Scopa, who wants to take this in terms of slumming it in the Valley Resorts? How does one handle that?
Well, number one, you can't look at it as slumming it because you got to look at, really, I mean, you've looked at it the proper way. You're not going to be in the room, so why do you want to spend that amount of money? I mean, you're not slumming it when you're being smart, okay?
A lot of people in the chat room are saying it's just, you know, a place to sleep, eat. Or sleep, shower, and go. You know what I mean?
Just know that it's not going to be, you know, you've got to go in knowing that it's not going to be. Don't go comparing it to the beach club because it's not going to be that. You know, that's the big thing. But if you're not planning on being there in the room, I think the big thing for me is the walls seem to be a little, you can hear a little bit more through with the value because I know, well, for me at Pop, I could hear the sprinklers going at night. And that was a big thing for me. Really, I say any property, value, moderate, deluxe, it doesn't really bother me.
Just have to know where.
So I'm going
to
be good. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, Annette makes a good point. There are some areas within a value or a moderate that are not as preferred as others. And, you know, earlier we had a caller earlier who asked about Pop and you know, knowing what. After asking him certain questions, he told me certain things that led me to suggest that he stay in the 80s or 90s, where I think he would find it much more palatable than if he stayed in the 60s or 50s. So it depends upon, you know, sometimes you luck out and you don't hear the sprinklers, and sometimes you don't luck out and you hear the sprinklers.
Cool. Okay, well, and I am going to try, even though I'm coming to the 1000th episode event, I'm coming home to California on Monday. I am hoping to get out to Disneyland on the 24-hour day, so I'm going to try and do that.
Good luck, bro.
So thanks, you guys. I love your show, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at the 1000th episode.
See you next month.
Okay,
bye. 407-278-5939. 1-800-259-3939 our phone number. And by the way, the chat room is now working. It seems people are able to get in, so I apologize for the issues before, but you should be able to get. Just go to live.wjfday.com.
Hey, Matt, way to sell the value resorts there is calling them
slums.
It's all relative. That's all. I'm just saying.
I'm just oh my gosh.
By the way, I'm getting word from the chat room. Thank you, Larry, in the chat. Frank from Charlotte just confirmed Disney Dining Plan 2 credits does not get you sides at Fulton's.
No veggies.
Not, All right. We got Michigan up next.
All right. We have our next call on the line. 2 minutes. Sorry. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Hi, this is Teresa from Michigan.
Hey, Teresa.
How are you?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I just got to say thanks, guys, because we have just listened to you for years, and we love it. My kids and my husband and I, you've been just great fun. We just laugh so hard sometimes when we get to listen. So thanks for all that you've done. Hey, I have a question. We just booked the 12-night Mediterranean cruise in July of 2013.
Nice.
We are very excited. curious, get a little feedback on, should we take the Disney travel plans and book our air travel through Disney, or would we be better off trying to book ourselves?
Annette? I think I know the answer, but go ahead, Annette.
Well, 2013, you got a little bit of time to kind of look and compare. Mm-hmm. If you go with Disney's, here's the big thing. If you go with Disney's and there's some kind of problem with the air, they will get you over to the ship. If you book your own, you're on your own if you have some kind of flight delays to get over to the ship. So especially doing what you're doing, I would definitely go through Disney.
So when they book you, then what we understand is they pretty typically book you for a day in advance. And then they take care of your transfers and your hotel, et cetera. Is that correct?
That would all be in there. Yeah, you need to confirm when you're talking to them to make sure, because, you know, I know in the past there were a couple hotel options in the past with some of those over in the Med. But, ask those questions when you're on there. Make sure you understand exactly if this is airfare. This is airfare and transfers, airfare, transfers, and hotel. But definitely, you know, make sure you understand what you're getting.
And you said there were some options, so you get to then choose which of the hotels they have as an option?
It all depends. I know in particular I had a client that ended up getting an option because the hotel that Disney was using was full, and so they were using another hotel for pre-night.
Yeah.
But it just depends. Most of the time it's all just one.
Okay, great. Well, I just have to ask, for the 1,000th episode, are you going to do a sip and snack?
Jesus, I need to start training now.
How great would that be, like, if Annette just rolled in like different foods and you would do like an impromptu right on the spot? That'd be pretty funny.
Can you imagine?
Let me get
started. I might have to come if you're gonna do that.
Yeah, well, I think Becky would love to be the point person on that and be able to participate directly and let her, you know, really enjoy.
No, it would be too much like Survivor. Stop that right now. We'd be eating live bugs. Stop.
We've loved the show.
Thank you.
Alrighty,
bye. Thanks,
Teresa.
Anyway, we've all learned our lesson when it comes to sip and snack, is that Mike Scopa is an evil, evil man.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Becky. It's
crackers forever.
We have our next call from, I got Glenn Beat on this one. This one's from Florida, the Orlando area.
I love how we've made this into a game, guessing where everybody's from.
Go ahead, 3, 2, 1.
Hi.
Hi, who are we talking
to? Hello, Brian.
Hey, Brian, what's on your mind?
I did two things. First, I went on a holiday cruise, on a Disney Wonder 8-day cruise from L.A. last month.
Uh-huh. How'd you like it?
It was good, and I almost feel like a celebrity lookalike.
How's that? Who's your doppelganger?
It was, you know, Jack DeBanco, the classical singer from America's Got Talent from last season?
Yeah.
Jackie? You know,
yeah.
Jack.
Len knows him.
She's a singer from America's Got Talent, the little girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
This family has a girl that looked like just like her.
Huh. Cool. So you had a good time on the cruise then, all over.
Yeah. And plus, since you're going to end the show, are you going to have Emily back on before the show's over?
Emily Westhoff?
Yeah, Emily from Baby Cakes, NYC.
Yeah, you never know. We just had her on, what was it, Len, 2 weeks ago?
When we did the Victoria and Albert's episode, yeah.
Yeah, we'll love having her on, so
we'll have
never
to
know.
Ask. We'll have to, yeah, you never know. We've got, how many episodes do we have left, Matt?
I'm not adding.
11.
You're like
11.
10, 12?
11.
All right, we'll have, all right. All right, let's awesome. Let's see what we can do. We'll talk to Emily. She's she'll be at the 1,000th episode, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm texting her right now to let her know that you have that she is a fan.
15 podcast openings left, so can't go.
I love you podcast. What are you guys gonna do after the show's over?
I'm working on a solo album, I'm telling you, man.
I'm gonna write my memoirs.
I'm gonna climb the Himalayas.
Climb the Himalayas.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Thank
Brian.
Thanks. Yeah.
Okay.
See ya.
407-278-5939. Keep things rolling here. Got some great calls so far. Good topics. I like a lot of different interesting ideas we've been talking about. And
Woody Allen's going to do my life story.
And big shout out to Lisa, who just joined the chat room. Sambi Cat. Anyway, we got our next call.
Lisa,
who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Betsy, and I'm calling from Baltimore.
Hey, Betsy.
How's it going?
Hey, Betsy.
Outstanding.
Good, good, good. Well, I have sort of a running question. So, if anybody who doesn't like that needs to take a nap, now might be the time for that.
I'll be back.
Go ahead.
Soda break.
Okay. So, I'm kind of a runner. I mean, I enjoy running events, and I've always wanted to do a Run Disney event, but I've just never been able to make it work. And so, I plan on doing one this coming fall. But Disney kind of threw me a curveball when they added in the Tower of Terror race. I plan on doing the Wine and Dine. So I have to pick between the two because I'm a teacher and it's kind of hard to take multiple Fridays in a row in the fall. It's kind of frowned upon, I guess. So if you had to pick one of the two, what do you think you guys would pick?
Wow. They're both the same, Betsy, with the exception of the distance. The 10 miler is obviously 3 miles shorter than the half marathon. So if you feel that you are, you know, sometimes a runner, then, you know, the distance may be an issue for you.
I do the half marathon in Baltimore every year. I'm not a full marathon runner. Okay.
I'd like Len to chime in on this. I think that in both cases, they're night races, right, Len? And I think that and Matt might know more about, well, I don't know if Matt, you know about what I don't think we've seen the course yet for the 10 miler, but I'm guessing it's going to be right around, it's going to be pretty close to the studios, and it's probably going to end at the studios. Wine and Dine, I believe, ends at Epcot. So I think that you would see more of the theme parks. You would get more sightseeing benefit from the Wine and Dine. Plus, you've got the big party afterwards, although there will be a party for the 10-miler. I think that the argument for the 10-miler is that the inaugural races are always kind of neat, but, and this is a big capital, but inaugural races always have some issues in Disney because there's always something that, you know, that's not, and I'm not raining hard on the Run Disney folks. It's just that no matter how hard you try, there's always going to be something that just doesn't work out well. And sometimes you can't foresee this. So take that with a grain of salt. But if I had a choice and I hadn't done either one, I think I'd do Wine and Dine. If you've had a choice and I've had a choice, I'm already registered for the 10 miler. So that's my two cents.
Okay.
I think the 10 miler to me looks more interesting only because it's at the beginning of Food and Wine.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Rather than the end. So I think that's the big appeal for me there. And the fact that it's 3 miles shorter doesn't really mean anything one way or the other. I think I'm looking forward to more the Tower of Terror race, again, because it's at the beginning of Food and Wine.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be neat if it ended at the Tower of Terror and we rode the attraction.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
Cool. Well, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for the input. I'll think about it. Thanks.
407-278-5939. Let's go to line two here. Hi, who's on the air with us?
Hi, this is Trish and Tyler from Lincoln.
Hey, Trish and Tyler.
Hey, I just have a question, or if you guys have any feedback about this. We've been with our kids about 5 times, and we're always kind of looking for something new and different to do. So we were thinking about doing the YES program with, like, individual enrollment, and just wondering if you guys have any information or feedback about that program.
The YES program?
YES
program. Okay, I'll jump in on that one.
Oh, yeah.
The Youth Educational Series.
Yeah. It was, like, 3 years ago. Go ahead.
Well, no, do you want to go, yeah, Lynn, or?
No, you do it. But you get cheap tickets, right?
Well, oh, my God.
That's exactly why I know about it. Go ahead.
Not necessarily. It's used a lot with a lot of homeschooling parents, school groups. They come down and you can join into other groups. They have some that are formed specifically for school groups or homeschool groups, and then they have others that they build up, for lack of a better way of putting that, so that you can put your children in to that program. But they get, it's a great educational series taught by Disney. If you're going down to Disney on vacation and you're looking for a way to prove to the schools it was educational, this is a way to do it. You could definitely contact Disney, and their Youth Educational Series is what it's called. I've had several groups that have gone down, Girl Scout groups, homeschoolers, and they've all had a blast. Great time building as a group, but also, you know, also the it depends on the tours you get. You got to be, you know, you got to look at what they can do, but lots of great things. And it's not about cheap tickets, Lynn.
The one question I got was, we're doing this YES thing, and oh, by the way, can we get cheap tickets? That was it.
We have twin boys that are 12, and we've talked about doing, like some of the tours, but they aren't, they are old enough for any of, like, the really good tours, I want to say, like Keys to the Kingdom or, you know, so we're just kind of looking for a different way for them to experience Disney. So I just wondered if you guys had any information on that.
Right. Yeah. And if you'll contact the YES program, they can let you know, because I know that every week they have a program that I don't know how else to say it. They build up so that they let anybody, you don't have to be with a specific group. They try to make a group up to go. So yeah, if you contact them and talk to them that, you know, about your dates that you're looking to go, they can help you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your information.
All right. Great.
Good luck.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, Trish. Bye-bye.
I forgot about the YES program. Yeah, that's something we should do a blog post on that.
That was a little bit of a word association. YES program. Cheap tickets.
I don't recall the exact conversation that we had, but the person that I was corresponding with, again, this is a couple of years ago, was, you know, I don't know if she was homeschooling or not, but her big discovery, the thing that she wanted to let me know about, was that you could get these discounted tickets to the theme park. And I think is it just Epcot? Or do they do it for all the parks? I don't remember.
It's because they're group tickets and because they're youth. Yeah. And what happens with that situation is kid groups coming in, you have to have chaperones per every kid, a certain number of kids. So chaperones get free tickets and the kids are paying reduced tickets. But again, it has to be for that group, that educational thing coming in.
Got it.
We have our next caller on the line. It's Trevor from Virginia. Hey, Trevor.
Hello, everyone. I got a cheap ticket question, maybe.
Oh, my gosh.
Since yes, it's Lynn's category, but just kind of tie in a little bit. So I happen to have an annual pass program to the World, and I also have Tables in Wonderland. I happen to be visiting Disneyland this coming May. Mm-hmm. Is there any discounts like you can get on Disneyland tickets if you're a World pass holder, or
any
other discounts there, or with dining or anything with either of those?
Not for anything, no. How long are you going for?
Nice?
We're going to like Southern California, and we'll probably be at Disneyland for like maybe 2 or 3 days.
Okay, 3 days is your break even for upgrading to a Premier Pass.
Okay.
So if you're going to be there, you think you're going to do the third day, just spring for the Premier.
Mm-hmm. That probably won't extend my expiration date, will it?
You know, I've seen him do it both ways. I've seen him, you know, if you want to pay the full fee and get 1 year from that day, in other words, start your Disneyland AP and your Premier on the same day. Yeah, otherwise, I've also seen them prorate the Disneyland Pass. So, like, when I took my niece Katie out in August, her AP was due in October. They only charged me the incremental charge for the Disneyland AP between August and October, because when I had to renew the Premier Pass later on, it was going to be more money. So so they may actually just prorate the cost. When is your AP up?
The end of July.
And when's your trip again?
May.
Yeah, so they may only charge you the incremental, you know, what is it, 3 months, 4 months? May, June, July, 3 months? Yeah. They may do that.
Okay.
It's worth asking for. Disneyland's a lot more flexible about their passes, I think, than World is.
Okay. And have you heard anything like, I think it's later in the summer that some of that Cars Land stuff's supposed to open up. Is that accurate?
You know, they've blocked out June 4th and 5th for some sort of event, I think. It's entirely possible that'll be soft opening or test and adjust. Then. Okay. We'll see.
Okay.
So if you're going in July, I think there's a decent chance you'll see some stuff.
No, we'll actually be there May. But my pass ended in July.
Sorry, May's a little early. But the good thing is you're not going to be there when it's really, really hot. So if anything is open, are you going early May or late May, Trevor?
Late May. Basically,
I don't think so. But
before Memorial Day weekend. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's the very end of May.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't get my hopes up, but you may have a chance.
Okay. Wonderful.
Thanks, Trevor.
All right, thank you all.
Hey, Trevor, if you get a chance, the Napa Rose.
Uh huh.
Oh yeah.
Really good. Mm-hmm. But there's a smoking section out back, and if it's you go at night when it's cooler, there's a little fire pit. You can sit around the fire pit, and they'll actually bring you anything you want from the menu. Even if Napa Rose is completely full and isn't accepting reservations, you can sometimes walk out there and grab a seat.
And is that? I remember there was a place that Scopa was talking about before that recommended getting a seat to early on, but I don't think someplace took reservations. Was
really?
I don't know if they take reservations there or not. But I thought there was some show. I don't know if it was actually a dining location.
Was it World of Color?
I don't think it was World of Color.
Yeah, just fast passes for that early.
Yeah.
The other place you want to try?
Actually, avoid it. It's not worth it.
My favorite place in downtown Disney is Catal, Trevor. It's Spanish food. Yeah. Try the seafood paella. Really, really good.
Yeah. Great. Either upstairs, I ate upstairs with Len, and downstairs, without Len. So it's both levels are really good.
Yeah, I really like Catal.
All right. Well, thank you all again. Have a wonderful night.
Thanks, Trevor.
Hey, you know, here's a question. Mm-hmm. DVC Premier Passport. Is there such an animal?
No, because Laurel's DVC. Do you get a discount on your Premier Pass for being DVC? Yeah. No discounts.
No. Interesting.
Yeah.
407-278-5939. Oops, somebody just hang up. I could have picked
it. I like it when we ask each other questions.
Oh, back to Florida.
We have another call. Hi, who are we speaking with? Yes.
Hey, this is Ferdy talking from Tampa.
Hey, what's up,
Tampa,
man?
Florida. Cousin Ferdy on the board. How you doing, guys?
How's it going?
It's going good. So, I want to ask. I just said I live in Tampa. I really want to be part of the festivities for the 1000 celebration, but I want to buy an entire vacation package because I live right here. Is there any way around that?
Yeah, the tickets.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, tickets are going to be available to everybody on Wednesday this week.
On Wednesday. And I can just go to the celebration?
You just have to buy the tickets, yeah. Just get a ticket. It's going to be available.
Deal.
Yeah, we'll tweet out the link. It's excuse me. Tickets are going to be $37, and you can just purchase the ticket on Wednesday and get your ticket. You're all set to go.
The other thing is,
don't forget, on Friday, we're having an event that's open to everybody. There's no tickets. We're just going to have an RSVP system.
Friday.
We're just going to ask you to sign up. You just let us know. We're trying to get to, like, an idea for numbers. Just say, you know, hey, you know, I'm, you know, so-and-so coming to the event. And you'll be able to go to that. And that's going to be available to everybody again. So that's going to be pretty cool. We're having that in the Norway Loft, somewhere we've never been before. So I think it's going to be very cool. It's going to be a nice social event for everyone to see everybody. Certainly, the everyone on this show will be here. So the four of us, Annette, Becky Menken, hopefully not Janine, but, you know, some other people will be there as well. It'll be fun.
Awesome. I want to ask, though, because I've never been to anything, and it seems like this group is very close-knit. Do a lot of newcomers come to these things?
Oh, all the time. COVID.
Yeah, we usually alienate everyone at the entire event, so it's automatically new people the next time.
Yeah, the ones who know us, they notice that.
Oh, come on, man.
It's a pretty good mix, actually. So you got old people, you got new people. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. And after you know, like 30 minutes of being around everybody, you become one of the old people that are always
exactly.
Sure. So just jump in.
Well, people tell me I have an old soul anyway, so I'm sure I won't have any problems.
There you go.
Nice.
There you go. All right. Well, hopefully I'll see you then. Thanks so much for the call. Thanks so much for everything that you guys do. And I hope to be listening to episode 1001 in the near future.
There you go.
With the new cast. Colin.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yep. Have a great night, guys.
With a whole new cast.
407.
Yep, no baby talk.
407-278-5939. Bring on a favor to the show. I'm from Maryland. Take him.
Hey. I was surprised after so many times of being on the live show when you guys actually pick up. I just think Matt's going to hang up on me.
I can
he promises Ken, but he never does.
I can only get lucky. Anyway, hi guys, so glad to be on the show. I was calling because I just got back from Disneyland last weekend, and if you happen to know someone, or if your caller happens to know someone who's a Southern California resident and they're looking for tickets, they just about a week or two ago started offering a discount, so there may be a way for them to save money. I got a 3-day park hopper for $144, at which point it didn't make sense at the time for me to spend the extra $100 and or $150 and upgrade to a premiere.
Wow.
So it's out there. I think Janine had on the message boards on in the chat that for a 2-day it's $99, and all they need to do is see their ID and get their zip code, and I think they may have to go through the turnstile with you the first time, and after that you're fine.
Cool. It's
so now we have everybody that's from Southern California going to be like, hey, let us know when you're coming.
Janine.
Make it some money, Janine.
Yeah, thanks, Janine.
It's a great way to foster love between the Disneyland people and the Disney World people.
Thanks for nothing, Janine.
Or to point out friends who don't really care about you, one or the other.
Again, Janine.
Janine drove me to Compton. I have nothing bad to say about Janine.
Oh my gosh, Janine was a saint for D23. Janine's got a long list of pros, not cons.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm a city kid. I'm from New York. I can't understand the Compton thing. It doesn't compute. But as long as you had fun, yay.
Oh, and Lynn, we're her favorites. I love that. Anyway.
Yay. So I had a question for you guys. As much as you've traveled to Walt Disney World and or Disneyland, what's the one thing you haven't done yet that you'd like to do?
Ooh.
Oh, I can start. Kim, when we were out there for the Disneyland half, they were doing the Haunted Holidays overlay for the Haunted Mansion out in Disneyland, so I didn't get to see it. So that's one thing I'd like to see. I missed it.
See, I've been out there twice when they were doing that, so I'm with you on that one.
I've been out there twice, and I only am there for refurb after the overlay or when the overlay is happening. So I've never seen regular Haunted Mansion.
Nice.
We're seeing a pattern here.
Yeah. What haven't I done? I haven't spent the night in the parks when they're closed.
I don't think that counts.
What legal things would you like to do that wouldn't get you in Disney jail that you haven't done yet?
Waiting to do that for almost 10 years.
Disney jail. There's your answer right there. Disney jail.
I've never been in the Utilidors, if that helps. I've never gotten a tour of the underground.
It's because they don't trust you down there.
Oh. Well, yeah, and?
Is that?
You mean the ones out west, Len?
No, in World.
Oh.
I haven't been there either. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you, Kim. Always a pleasure to hear from you.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who's on the air with us?
This is Lewis from Madisonville.
Hey, Lewis.
How are you?
Outstanding.
Where's Madisonville?
Wisconsin? In just north of New Orleans.
Wisconsin.
We're on the good side of the lake.
Okay.
Got it.
No.
Got it.
Nolens.
What's going on, Lewis?
Have a comment and a question. The comment is I got to thank Lynn and Mike Scopa for all the running tips that they have given over the years. They, my oldest son and I, who was 10 at the time, I ran my first 5K in over 20 years at ESPN the week this past spring. And he had such a good time that my 10-year-old has now become a cross-country runner.
Wow.
And him and I ran the Halloween 5K. We're coming down from Mardi Gras, and we're going to run the Royal Family 5K in Everest. And I've talked my wife into a New Year's resolution of doing the half marathon in January of 2013.
Wow, nice. Good for
Thanks
you,
Thanks to both. Also, I got to thank Laurel with her Twitter post. My wife and I are now Fitbit users, and it's helping a lot.
Oh, you like the Fitbit?
Yes.
Awesome. I'm thinking about getting one.
So it's really helped. So the question is somewhat of a math question. I know Mike Newell really doesn't like math questions. We're annual pass holders, DVC members. And we're coming back, I said, for Expedition Everest weekend. Our passes expire March 3rd, so it's a two-month gap. And was debating on should we do the renewal or should we just buy new again? And I'll give you the math and tell me if my thinking's correct.
Okay.
We would say it's three adults and two kids because my oldest is now 11.
Mm-hmm.
$217 is what we would save by doing the renewal. If we pay for it outright, it's $2,029 for our family.
Wow.
So I'm looking at this thinking, okay, I can save $200, but I lose 2 months. If I always did a renewal, it would take me 10 years to recoup $2,000. But if over 10 years, can I gain a year with those gaps?
Well, you'd gain a year in six years. If you're doing 2 months at a time, do you have a trip planned?
Well, we have a trip for May 5th, coming down for Expedition Everest.
Yeah, but you could conceivably get your passes then. So, do you have another trip planned in like April or May of next year?
Well, we're probably going to do a quick weekend at Mardi Gras. We're going to actually take our first Disney Fantasy cruise.
Oh, nice.
So Mardi Gras. When's Mardi Gras next year?
Like February, right around Valentine's Day. Like the third. I think it's the third.
That's a good question. So, but if you renewed on March 3rd, you'd be cool for your next trip next year too, right?
Yes, I would. I was just thinking over the I'm looking at the long term savings over the course of 10 years. It would take me to recoup the $2,000 paying it out new.
Yeah.
And over the course of 10 years, if I have more than, you know, if I have, say, a 2 month gap every year over 10 mm-hmm. years, that's almost 2 years.
Yeah, you're right.
Am I thinking about this correct that it's actually better just to pay for it new again rather than doing the renewal?
Yeah, so the thing with the 2 month that you're saying is you're not paying for a pass when you know you're not going.
Right. Yeah. And even if it's a small gap, like 2 months, over 10 years, you should easily be able to recoup a full year of pass.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're talking about 16%, right? And the discount isn't 16%.
Right, the discount's I'd about 10.
I'd wait.
Okay. I thought I was thinking about that correctly. I know you always talk about APs and the benefit of doing them, but I've never heard you all discuss the benefit of renewing them versus waiting.
Yeah. And the reason why I'd wait is you get the extra 2 months and your trip next year is still covered either way.
Right.
Yeah, I'd wait. Because you never know what's going to happen. You never know, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Cool. Good luck, Lewis.
Cool. Thanks for calling.
All right.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. Still plenty of time to get your calls in. So call in right now, and we have – well, but while we're waiting for your call, we'll keep things rolling with our next caller on the line. Hi. Who is on the air with us for the January 2012 WWE Live Show?
This is John from Farmington, not Long Island. How's everybody doing?
Hey, John.
Hiya.
I have a question. I'm trying to decide between the Wyndham Resort at Bonnet Creek or the Wyndham Lake Buena Vista property. And I know the Lake Buena Vista property is right across the street from downtown Disney, which is, I think, very nice, and that appeals to me quite a bit. But I've also heard that the Bonnet Creek property is really awesome.
The Bonnet Creek is way better.
I mentioned it on Mouse Chat on their last podcast.
Thanks for listening. Yeah, cool.
By the way, Len, you were awesome on Mouse Chat. Anybody that hasn't, any listeners out there that haven't heard that most recent podcast of theirs, listen to it. Len, you go through touring plans and you give great insight into how lines works. And the app itself is really great insight, so I would recommend that to anybody. But I guess my question is, are there any other factors that you know of that would steer me towards one or the other? For example, do either of them offer extra magic hours or maybe high-speed sofas?
That'll never be forgotten.
Yeah, John, I mean, here's the thing. I think the Wyndham Bonnet Creek is a much newer property.
Yeah.
I've stayed at the Wyndham Downtown Disney. I wasn't that impressed with it. In fact, I'd be hard pressed for a reason to come up with a reason to actually stay at one of the Downtown Disney resorts. That being said, I think the Bonnet Creek stuff is really, really nice. And for the right price, you know, as long as they're not gouging you, I wouldn't mind staying there at all. Are you you driving? You're gonna have a car?
No, we're not gonna have a car.
Okay. The shuttles. Okay.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't stay Downtown Disney over the Bonnet Creek stuff. I mean, if you're relying on a shuttle either way, I'd still the rooms are going to be better at the Bonnet Creek.
So the Wyndham Resorts, they're just going to offer me a shuttle to the parks, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like every half hour. It operates every hour or something like that. You know, from an hour before the park opens to maybe an hour after the park closes. Something like that.
I want to go check out the Animal Kingdom Lodge, for example.
It's interesting. Then you might start looking at the Disney Transportation Network for that. Have them take you to a park and then just top on an internal bus.
Okay. Do either of those offer extra magic hours?
No. The only non-Disney hotel is the Hilton Downtown Disney.
And just know that Wyndham has been about five different chains.
The one downtown, Downtown Disney one?
Yeah, Downtown Disney, yeah.
It's not great, I'm telling you. It's not.
It's been there.
I really can't think of any reason why I would stay. Do you have Wyndham points? Is that it, John?
No, they're giving me one of those deals, great rate, and they're actually throwing in two tickets if I will sit through their two-hour spiel, trying to sell me a timeshare.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't do the Downtown Disney one. I would do the
Bonnet Creek
one. Yeah.
Okay. And then my next question is the tickets that they give you, the vouchers, I guess they give me. Will Disney allow me to upgrade those to park hoppers if I want them?
I think once they give you the ticket, you could do anything you want to it. I think you actually have to use the ticket first, though. So like you literally have to like go in the entrance. And then you go to guest services and then upgrade it and you're set.
Okay. Gotcha.
Awesome. And then a final question. I'll hang up and listen. What are your thoughts on the new beard policy?
On the new, oh, yeah. I hadn't really
beard.
Thought of...
Oh, I thought he said something else.
I thought he said beer.
Beer. I was like, is there a new beer?
I was like, what?
Beer policy.
It's interesting. No, the I think they do it. They're doing it to have a consistent policy worldwide, I think, which kind of makes sense. I think it's fine. I'm okay with it.
It doesn't bother me. I mean, Scopa, what do you think about the new beard policy? Scopa?
Yeah, Scopa's microphone.
Come back. it's a wait and see. We'll see what happens. I think that it's a long time coming. I think that they're very careful. There was a caveat saying that they'll have a final say on it. So I think there will be something like you see in a police station where they have an inspection before you go out on stage. So I think they're going to be very careful. It'll be monitored, right, I think.
Thanks, guys. And if you do decide to end it after 1,000 episodes, you know, you can really be proud of the podcast that you're putting out. You know, I listen to a bunch of Disney podcasts, and you guys are the standard that the other podcasts are measured against, I think. So thank you very much. And again, be really proud of the show that you put out every so often. So thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks very much.
407-278-5.
Are we coming up on the last 15 minutes of live calls ever in the history of WPA? Someone, some lucky person, will be the very last live caller ever.
I'm not playing along. We have our next caller. Who's on the air with us?
Who will it be? I mean,
that's denial.
It's probably Medina. Go ahead. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes,
no, I can.
You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Benjamin. I just had a question. I was actually going to ask the beard question, but I guess we'll ask something else now. It's about the ride Mission Space.
Yep.
Yes.
So just forget about, you know, Horizons. I actually never got to ride it, so I, you know, didn't experience everything that anybody says is good about it. Mm-hmm. But Mission Space, what would y'all say, you know, if kind of thing, best way to say it. I know a lot of people don't like it, but aside from the whole motion sickness part, why do you not think it's a popular attraction?
I think, well, it kind of plays into it. I think the big problem with it is that it's so it's a thrill ride, right? I mean, from a standpoint that there's a physical limitation for a lot of people. So kids can't ride it. Generally, older people can't ride it. So you have a huge swath of the population that's not going to be included in there. Then you have people who don't prefer not to ride it, you know, like the Mike Newells of the world. And so it you know, I think it's limiting itself in terms of its audience, as opposed to like a ride like Soarin', which everybody can ride almost. And in that regard, I think that's one major thing that's going to affect it. Now, when you combine that with the fact that it's just, over the years, it just hasn't become it hasn't been well received in terms of the ride content, you know, it being quote unquote a fun or awesome ride. I think that's kind of combined in there. You have what we call in the business, a dud. I mean, Len, what do you think about that?
It's,
I mean, why do you think it's not so popular?
I mean, the story is kind of the same all the time. And there's not really any sort of interactive element with it. I mean, yeah, you get to flip the switches and stuff like that, but there's nothing really that you can control or that's different about it. I think those are the two big things. That and I don't mean this in a bad way, but frankly, the ride, you know, two people died on the ride. That's really not going to help his reputation. I realize that the ride necessarily didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
But still.
Disney in our chat room, Disney Wed say because Gary Sinise isn't wearing a prosthetic.
Exactly.
Jesus. Scuba, what about you? What do you think? I mean, take away the motion sickness for a second. Why don't you think Mission Space has become, you know, a classic Disney World ride, or even one that's well received or looked upon fondly?
Well, I've used this argument before. When you talk about a classic Disney ride, you talk about way back when Walt Disney was, you know, sitting on the park bench, and he's saying, "Why can't I, you know, do the rides like my kids, my two girls? Why aren't there amusement parks that have things for the whole family. And I think that if he was walking through Epcot, he would say, you know, I don't know if that attraction would be something that the whole family would enjoy. It's funny because roller coasters pretty much are, but this particular attraction is not. And I think a lot of people just are kind of turned off by it. I don't think there's much Imagineering to it anymore, you know?
Do you think people are really turned off to it because of the motion sickness? Because, I mean, Disney does offer the green side as well, you know, the no spinning.
Yeah. But the thing is, I think that there's the impact of the special effects kind of lose it if you don't have everything going full force. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that that attraction over the next 5 years, if it's still around after 5 years.
Yeah, I think someone Murfinator 2000 in the chat room says green is a waste of time in his opinion, and I agree. I mean, it's just, you know, you take away, if you go for the green one that has less motions, it's just not fun. It's like, okay, you're sitting. Len, I think you said this on a really old podcast. It's like watching a movie in an airplane bathroom. You know, you're sitting in a really cramped space and watching a film. Like, that's not, and again, that goes back to kind of what Mike was saying, is that, you know, it's not like the content of the actual attraction, you know, the story, the ride experience. It's all together, and, you know, it all falls apart, I think, in the grand scheme of things. And it's unfortunate because, you know, I think Disney really had some high hopes for it. I mean, heck, it spent over $100 million on this, and they don't spend over $100 million on any Disney World attraction since or after, or before, rather. So, you know, it says a lot about it.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good question, but thank you, Brian. Benjamin, sorry.
No, that's fine. You know, I just recently got into the show, and I love it, and I really do respect everything y'all have to say about, you know, Disney in general.
Cool. Thank you, Benjamin. Appreciate it. Awesome.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks.
407-278-5939. And are you a fan of Mission Space?
Well, I ride it, so, I mean, it doesn't bother me. I ride it. The kids want to ride it, but... You know, I can see where there's not the same. There's just not the same feeling as everything else. It's hard to talk over Barbra Streisand.
Is this the way we were? Why is this playing?
Coming down the last 8 minutes.
Ever.
I think actually appropriate song the. What's that movie song?
Could do that like when we're done.
We have another. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who's on the air with
us?
I don't know, man. I hate to interrupt this musical interlude. It's breathtaking. It really is. My name's Bill. I'm lost somewhere in the woods of North Mississippi. How you guys doing tonight?
Hey, Bill. How's it going?
Hey, Bill.
Yeah. Hey, listen. I got a couple of things. You guys are talking, and I'm not listening tonight. So if you've already addressed this, I apologize. But we checked into one of the resorts back in December early, like at 8 o'clock in the morning. Then hit a bus and went to one of the parks. And you know, you've mentioned that they'll text you when your room is ready.
Yep.
We never got the text. We went at 4 o'clock and talked to them, and they said that that they have issues with AT&T. A lot of times, the AT&T stuff, they'll send the text out, but the text won't go through.
Yep.
We never did get the text on it. So I just wanted to kind of share that with the listeners and let you guys know about that.
Also, when were you there, Bill?
It was back in December. It was December the 19th.
Okay. We actually talked about how bad AT&T service is around the holidays in Disney World. Back in, I guess, April of last year, I posted a letter you can send to AT&T. And to tell them that you had bad service while you were in Walt Disney World because of the crowds, and ask for a refund for the days that you were there. So if you're there for 5 days out of a 31-day month, they'll give you, you know, just under 20%. Just under 15% back.
Yeah.
Go and take a look at the letter. It seems to have worked.
And I remember you guys talking about that. This didn't happen to be with our service, though. This was the service that the resort uses. They send the
text. Wasn't capacity. Oh, that's interesting.
Right. And when we were there back in, it's been a while back, a couple of years ago, and we got our text at like 4:05, and they said, yeah, your room has been ready for a couple of hours.
Wow.
So it's their service that they use. It just delays going through AT&T. And on that particular trip, we never did get, back in December, we never did even get the text at all.
So, I mean, we just happened to go back to, to check in, or, you know, check to see if our room was ready right at 4 o'clock so we could kind of get a little rest. There's another thing, and I don't know if anybody's had this come up. I've got an 8-year-old kid who happens to be a big Oswald the Lucky Rabbit fan, by the way.
Awesome.
That's another story. it seems like a lot of the water rides give him a rash. If he gets wet, like on Splash Mountain or Pirates of the Caribbean, we've noticed, we were just there a couple of weeks ago, and he ended up with a really bad rash on his legs. And this has happened in the past as well. Gets a little bit of water on him, and then it's like big red welts come up. Have you guys ever heard of any of this? Any idea what might be causing that?
It's probably the chemicals that they're treating the water with. I know they don't use chlorine. They use something else. That's a great question. I don't know. That might be a good question, actually, to write Disney and ask about.
Yeah. Well, he had been feeling so bad. It was last Saturday night, actually. We did 4 parks in one day. He was exhausted. His legs were killing him. Mm-hmm. And the poor kid did not want to leave. I took him to a bathroom, checked his legs, and they were just so red and swollen. I'm like, dude, you know, it's 11 o'clock. The park closes in an hour. We need to go back and get some Benadryl in you.
Yeah, it was bring some Benadryl. Yeah, yeah.
Knock him out with the Benadryl.
Yeah.
Well, you can dose him like the day before too. Yeah. Is there such a thing as non-drowsy Benadryl?
I don't think so. And if there is, I don't want to know about it.
It's like decaf coffee. What's the point, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
But the cast members there were great. One of the PhotoPass cast members gave him like 21 stickers to try to help out, and then we went to the confectionery. My wife was picking up some fudge for some family members, and the cast member back there was just like, oh, baby, we can't be crying. Would a cupcake make you feel better? And he's like, uh-huh.
Yeah,
I'm
going to start crying.
I'm going to try that.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that all you have to do?
Yeah, cry? Please.
I started throwing my own little fit trying to get something, but it didn't work.
John Boehner of the Main Street Bakery. Thank you, Matt. That was for you. That was for you. Ah, that's great. So, so what about that calamine lotion?
Yeah, you know, we had some Cordate when we got back to the room.
My wife is really big
on carrying a big medicine cabinet with us.
Yeah.
So we have a little bit of everything, but yeah, we used up a bunch of Cordate on his legs and the Benadryl. He actually skipped school on that following Monday, and we took him to the nurse practitioner, and she prescribed some kind of lotion for us to take next time we go.
Oh, cool.
I was going to ask if there's some kind of like Benadryl-type lotion or something, or is there a way you could get like a little, this sounds bad, but a little plastic rain suit, ride the ride, and then...
He was wearing a poncho, but you know, you don't expect to get very wet on Pirates of the Caribbean, and now when you come out of explosions, you know, you start to get a little bit wet, and I think that's what caused the beginning of it.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So there we go. But the next time we go, if this happens, I'm taking it straight to the first aid station. Maybe they'll have an idea. So anyway, that's all I got for you.
You'll be pushing him around the park.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Exactly. But hey, you know what? He got a cupcake out of it. That's all that matters, right?
That's right. And he's an 8-year-old Oswald fan. That's awesome too. Good. Way to go.
Yeah, he is. He is. He used some of his Christmas money or birthday money last year and bought the Oswald DVDs. And
I was going to say, yeah, do you have the DVDs? Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, you can definitely see the beginnings of the ideas that Walt had back then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's been kind of our ongoing project to find all of the Oswald references in any of the parks, and you know, we found a couple of them so far there at the Mickey meet and greet on Main Street and in One Man's Dream. There's two of them there.
That's great. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. It is. It really is. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm proud to have an 8-year-old who's that big of a Walt Disney fan himself. You know, he's just a big fan of Walt.
I'm
raising him right, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. That and Van Halen, you know.
Woo!
Oh, my gosh. Yep.
Exactly.
Bill's okay with me. All right.
We're friends now. Is that it?
Exactly.
All right. Hey, guys, appreciate your help tonight.
See you.
Thank you, sir.
Matt, are we talking about the last caller of all time?
The last call for this live show, yes.
And by extension, Matt, the last show, the last call of all time ever. The history of the VMA live shows. This is it. Code 917.
Oh, we'll do a live show in February.
That's New York.
New York, exactly.
Hello?
Who's on the air with us?
Mike, how are you guys doing?
Hey, Mike. Hiya, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Sorry, I can't hear you guys. Got some music on.
Yeah, that's all right. We're not saying anything. We're just listening to Barbara.
Go ahead.
Oh,
so Mike, the last live caller of all time. Congratulations.
Wow, this is way more pressure than I expected. Oh.
Go ahead. Ask us a question, Mike, that just sums up everything we've ever talked about. Go ahead.
All right.
Sure.
I know, right? What is it, Mike? What is it that you want to know that is the essence of our show? Go ahead.
All right. Here we go. Well, I was listening to the Unofficial Guide podcast with you, Len, and the great Jim Hell. And he mentioned, I think it was in the Magic Kingdom one, that there was talk of an Epcot expansion, maybe taking place somewhere between, I think it was like Spaceship Earth and Inventions. And I was curious if you guys, if you guys have any thoughts, like, okay, let's say if they were to do an expansion for Epcot.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be a good thing? Could it just make things kind of worse? I hate to say that, but like, you know, you think there's a chance that maybe they could try to get back at that futuristic theme that, you know, a lot of the fanboys miss and cry about, but, you know, I don't know. I just think it would be better overall for Epcot as a park to either, you know, if it's future world, have it be futuristic, but if it's not, then, you know, rename it or really just try to make a real cohesiveness to that side of Epcot.
Yeah, the problem that you're seeing in the beginning of Future World right now is essentially the problem you had with Tomorrowland 20 years ago, right? That it's no longer the future. It's what the people in the past, people 20 years ago, thought the future would look like.
But Epcot's not really even like that now. Epcot's it's discombobulated.
Yeah, so I mean, the seas is like marginally educational these days. The land, same thing. Imagination's a shell of itself. It's kind of gotten away from its purpose there a little bit. I think they could do better. I haven't really sat down to think about how, you know, they could do better. It's they kind of have an idea there with interventions where people come in and change things and do it, but I think the pace of technology changes so much that, you know, Disney can't afford to sit down and do a 12-month project, you know, planning project on something that, you know, is going to be released and onto its second revision in 3 months. That's kind of the game that they're playing right now. The thing that I think would be interesting is for them to go to, like, you know, the labs at like MIT, like the Media Lab or the Innovations Lab at MIT, and just ask those guys, you know, what are you working on now that's going to be commercial in 5 years? You know, and then maybe, you know, when I was there in 2007, 2008, they were just then starting to talk about 3D printing, right, where you could actually print stuff off in 3D. And now 3D is, you know, sort of mainstream right now, but, you know, but that's 5 years later, right, 4 or 5 years later. Stuff like that where, you know, they can bring in technology that people are just now imagining in the labs around the country, and then showcase those. That's, I think, they need to get a little bit away from commercial products and more onto like research projects. Just a thought.
Okay, no, I can agree with that. I mean, just two things that I'd want to throw in there. One, and this could just be me, I think an amazing sponsor to fix the Imagination Pavilion, Apple.
Yeah, it's true.
Right.
And the other thing is maybe work on a pavilion with a ride system that's very easy to swap out a la Soarin'. So, you know, you could have something that is almost like, you know, the end of Horizons. I argue that most of that stuff still isn't here. we're not living in space yet or anything, but, you know, rides maybe that deal with that. And then, you know, if anything gets outdated, you can just swap it out.
That's an idea. I think they kind of tried that with the Turtle Talk stuff and with Monsters, Inc., where it's video screens.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that works.
They haven't swapped those out, I don't think.
No. I mean, they've tweaked some stuff a little bit, but they haven't fully taken it out. They could do it with Toy Story Mania as well, right? They could change the games if they need to.
They did. When Toy Story 3 came out, they changed the characters.
Yeah. There's a limit to that, though. I mean, on a roller coaster, that would be really difficult to do. And you know, the video screens would be a secondary effect on a roller coaster. So, interesting concept. Yeah, interesting concept, though.
Cool. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Take care, guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
This is the end.
You know, this is what Newell's been doing the last hour, is finding songs.
Wow. I can't believe it's gone. I'm going to miss these.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode, this live show of WW Today. I want to remind all our listeners about our sponsor for today's show, which is going to be, of course, touringplans.com. And hey, touringplans.com is a great resource for you to get around Walt Disney World, see everything you want to see, get everything done, and not wait in those long lines. Not only that, they've got some great resources on their website, like the least price ticket calculator, which can tell you how to find the cheapest price out there for any Disney World tickets. It's also going to have it has a great blog, which always has new posts every day, and lots of other great features as well that you definitely want to check out. Check them out right now at touringplans.com.
Well, it's been a good one, guys. I appreciate it.
And that's going to do it for us today. Don't forget this episode of... Oh, we already said sponsor, but...
Hit again. You're broken up, aren't you?
I'm all for clubs. For Len Testa, Mike Scopa, Mike Newell, and the fabulous Ned Owens, I'm Matt Hochberg. We'll see you on the next show. There will be.
Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.